Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about the frauds and the faithful. Our article is by Baldwin Wallace News and is entitled, Baldwin Wallace Ohio Pulse Poll Shows Ohio Voters Favor Passage of Issue 1 and Issue 2, by Sean Salamone. A majority of likely Ohio voters surveyed favor the constitutional protection of abortion rights and the legalization of recreational marijuana. With early voting underway and less than 3 weeks to go until the November 7 election, a Baldwin-Wallace University Ohio Pulse poll shows strong support for ballot issues enshrining abortion rights in the state constitution and legalizing recreational marijuana. The Baldwin-Wallace Community Research Institute, BWCRI, survey also asked Ohioans for their opinions on gun control and to rate 2024 statewide primary candidates as well as President Joe Biden, former President Donald Trump, and Ohio's two U.S. senators. The BWCRI Ohio Pulse poll shows 58% of likely voters for the November 7 election favor passage of Issue 1, an amendment to the Ohio Constitution that would protect the right to reproductive freedom, including access to contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. Issue 1 is favored by 89% of Democrats, 39% of Republicans, and 51% of independents. In addition, 65% of parents, 54% of gun owners, and 37% of evangelicals support Issue 1. Only 8% of respondents were undecided. A similar majority of 57% said they plan to vote yes on Issue 2, which would legalize recreational use of marijuana. Just 7% of respondents were undecided. Majorities across most demographic groups support Issue 2, including 66% of Democrats, 50% of Republicans, 59% of independents, 70% of parents, and 71% of respondents ages 18 through 49. Almost half of self-identified evangelicals, 47%, and respondents age 50 and older, 47%, support Issue 2. The majorities of respondents in these demographics favoring Issue 1 and Issue 2 indicate a strong likelihood of a majority vote for both ballot issues in November, said Dr. Tom Sutton, political science professor and director of the BWCRI. Interest in participating in the upcoming election is high. Some 67% of respondents said they were certain to vote on November 7, while 18% said they would probably vote. A sizable number of those voting early, with 18% casting a ballot by mail and 26% voting early in person. A little more than half say they will vote on Election Day. Issue 1 and Issue 2 are personal for many Ohioans, which means that we can expect voter turnout to be much higher than usual for an off-year election involving only voting for local offices, said Sutton. Some 73% of likely voters said they voted in the August 2023 special election, almost double the 39% statewide turnout. The 2023 Ohio Pulse poll included sets of questions about abortion access and gun control that were also asked in October 2022. Opinions on the limits to legal abortion access were similar in both polls. The 2022 poll showed 27% favoring full access to abortion, while 24% agreed in 2023. Both polls showed 30% support for permitting abortion access with limits. In 2022, 26% preferred to only allow access to abortion in cases of rape or to save a life, which increased to 30% in 2023. In both surveys, 61% of respondents favored a state constitutional amendment to allow access to abortion, mirroring the 58% of likely voters who said they would support Ohio Issue 1. Okay, so what are we to make of this news? How should we interpret these data? Well, there are a few conclusions that we can draw, and these conclusions fit quite neatly into the good news and bad news categories. But I think that calling these conclusions good news and bad news is a bit of a mistake, but I'll explain that later. For now, let's look at the good news and bad news. Okay, so for the good news, and the good news may not sound very good, and frankly it isn't, but here it is for whatever it's worth. The percentages of people who support abortion have stayed essentially static since the 1970s. Gallup has a lot of longitudinal data about this issue, and their research is well worth looking into. But one of the issues that has changed is that the number of people who are essentially single-issue voters because of abortion has more than doubled since 1992, which is the earliest year for which they have data. Now, there is a fluctuation in their numbers, but in 2023, the percentage of registered voters for whom candidates must share their views on abortion was 28%. That's up from 13% in 1992. Now, given that the overall population hasn't really shifted in its views, or at least not much, this may seem like a fart in the wind, but it isn't. The reason that it isn't is because this means that people are coming to the realization that abortion is, as with all laws, a moral issue. And for an increasing number of people, it's a moral issue of the highest magnitude. But these polls demonstrate something else that is significant. It disabuses us of the lie that the good old days were really all that good. If you look at the data going back to 1975, the breakdown of people who believe abortion should be legal in some or all circumstances versus people who believe abortion should be illegal in all circumstances, the stats fluctuate between 75-25 to about 90-10. 1975 was nearly 50 years ago. The youngest registered voters back then are 66 now. So when you look around at senior citizens, when you look at the baby boomers, a lot of us tend to think that back in their day, when they were young, people were more moral. But no. Certainly, public standards of decency have declined. But who's been in charge of society since then? The notion that back when grandma was a girl, people had higher moral standards is frankly false on its face. Marijuana use was high among boomers in the 1970s, and it's only grown. The boomers were teens from 59 to 83, and shock of shocks, marijuana use went from 4% or below in 1969 to 33% in 85. And that 33% stayed consistent until my generation, the millennials, became teens and it rose to its current levels. But again, all the grandmas and grandpas out there looking around wondering, what happened to my country? The real question is, what did we do? Looking back, there are very few living Americans who can say that the genuine moral state of the nation was better when they were young than it is now. Again, public standards of decency have dropped, absolutely. But who set the standards? Who established the norms? Who was in charge of institutional apparatuses? Who could have raised the moral consciousness of the nation? Now, you're probably thinking, my goodness, Luke, how can this be good news? Well, here's how it's good news. This means that despite the public indecency and general moral erosion of the past 50 years, the percentage of people who think that murdering babies should be legal has essentially stayed static. However, the reality is that the actual number of abortions is going down. In fact, if you look at abortion statistics, you see that there is a huge drop in the number of abortions reported after the bulk of baby boomers have aged out of their childbearing years. As a cohort, the boomers are the ones who had the plurality of legal abortions in U.S. history. Indeed, the peak year for abortions was actually one of the years, and indeed the final year, when all boomer women were in the childbearing cohort of 15 to 44 years old. As the boomers have aged out of childbearing, finally aging out altogether in 2009 when those women born in 65 turned 44, and the number of abortions continued to drop year by year after they've aged out. Now, I grant that prophylaxis and abortions by morning after pills, which is still abortion, have reduced the number of abortions being committed by younger women at facilities. But the reality is that more women are choosing not to have abortions. Or if they are choosing, they're using pills in a morning after wait when the baby is less developed. And I take this as good news. I take this as a sign that while opinions on the law may not be changing, more and more women are realizing that abortion is murder. They may hold the morally idiotic and incoherent position that while they would never have an abortion because it would be wrong, that it's okay for another woman to have one. Sure, lots of women do, and that's a problem. But it seems that in a weird way, the tide is turning. But now the bad news. If polling is prophecy, issue one will pass in Ohio. Worse news. If polling is correct, 37% of people who call themselves evangelicals in Ohio support abortion. Yes, let me say that again in case anyone missed it. 37% of people who call themselves evangelical Christians, people who claim to be saved by Jesus Christ, washed in the blood, Bible believers committed to sharing the gospel and social action, 37% of those people think that abortion should be legal. For perspective, 65% of Ohioans consider themselves conservative. And based on recent registration data of Ohio's approximately 8 million registered voters, about 950,000 are registered Democrats and 840,000 are registered Republicans, both groups making up a little over 10% of the voters. 73% of Ohioans claim to be Christians, and about 30% of Ohioans claim to be evangelical Christians, which means that as a voting bloc, evangelicals can swing the state any which way. Yet, there's moral confusion. I'm not too concerned with the fact that 39% of Republicans are projected to vote for abortion on issue one. I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised because I think that we've all seen for a long time that there are a lot of people who think of themselves as conservatives, but they aren't. They're morally bankrupt people who want lower taxes and less regulation. In other words, they're greedy. There, I said it. Now, make no mistake, there are a lot of Democrats who are greedy too, but I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about progressives. I'm worried about people who call themselves conservatives, but aren't interested in trying to conserve anything. Because if 39% of Republicans support abortion and Ohio is composed of, or supposedly composed of, 65% conservatives, then there is necessarily some overlap. That means that there are people out there who call themselves conservative Republicans who support abortion. It means that there are people who want to conserve nothing but pennies in their pocketbooks, and that's bad. But worse and worse are those who claim to love Jesus and won't let the little children come to him. If abortion weren't murder, and it is, and if the church hadn't spoken clearly for 2,000 years on this issue, and it has, even if that were true, abortion would still be evil because it literally hinders the little children from coming to Jesus. There is a grotesque lack of moral clarity and a dearth of moral urgency. Perhaps evangelicalism, in our headlong rush to personalize the faith and to intellectualize it, have failed and failed catastrophically to teach virtue. Perhaps pastors, with our constant pleas for personal relationships with Jesus, have neglected the need for personal righteousness. Moreover, we have failed to warn people that we will be held personally responsible in judgment for the things done in the body, whether good or evil, focusing on the personal relationship with Jesus instead. But at a certain point, we must stop and ask if a person claims to have a personal relationship with Jesus, if a person claims that the perfect, holy, righteous God of the universe indwells a person, guiding them into all truth, if all that's true, then how can a person not only practice but promote wickedness? Perhaps, maybe, just maybe. Instead of asking people to bow their heads and pray, we ought to have been impressing upon them their need for holiness and humility. We ought to have spent at least as much time seeking to get Christians to repent as to repeat a prayer. Because, from where I sit, scouring the stats, it would appear that evangelical pastors are excellent crowd manipulators, but mediocre curers of the soul. We have pastors who can rouse a crowd to give money, but not to live virtuously. We have pastors who can build their own personal fiefdoms, but cannot build the kingdom. We have pastors who can get people to raise their hands, but not raise their lives out of the sewers of sin in which we live. In short, brothers and sisters, Ohio's Christianity, for an awful lot of Ohioans, hasn't been much use to them. A whole lot of Buckeyes claim to know Christ, but are bound in the chains of sin and self-righteousness. But here's the thing. I said in the beginning that good news and bad news are really the wrong categories because these realities aren't really news. Those who have watched society for a while have seen these trends a long way off. Many have stated and warned that a rising conservatism in America did not necessarily entail a rising moral standard, and of course it doesn't. For all the folks talking about how America is being red-pilled, I don't buy it. You can take your trad West and your trad wives and your trad cons and throw them all together, and sure, maybe we have a baseline agreement on a lot of political perspectives, but in the end, setting the clock back 50 or 100 years won't mean anything but that we'll have to repeat history if that replay isn't auto-tuned with a revival. Will Ohio vote to legalize abortion? I don't know. Polls say yes. But I'm going to fast and pray and preach and work the phones to try to change people's minds before November 7th. I'm going to fast and pray and preach and work the phones, and I'm going to refuse to despair, and I'm going to have hope, because I believe God can and does do miracles, including the miracle of changing hearts. I won't despair. I won't let the devil win without a fight. I won't surrender. I will fight the good fight of the faith, because I believe that God can save Ohio by saving Ohioans. I believe God can bring revival to Ohio. I believe that Christ can bring us out of the darkness, not by voting Republican or all the women wearing sundresses and having 10 kids, but through repentance from sin and faith in Christ and godly churches who teach people to live virtuous lives. I plead with you to join me. Fast, pray, work. Never, ever, ever despair. God may do miracles yet. Run the race, fight the fight, keep the faith. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.